Join me in 2 Timothy. I want to say a couple of broad things about this letter from the Apostle Paul. And then what we're going to do is we're going to narrow our focus down literally to one phrase in the text this morning. We're going to unpack that one a little bit. So join me in 2 Timothy. You know, if Jeff's chronology is correct, we're going to read 2 Timothy in December, right? Because Jeff believes that 2 Timothy is the very last of Paul's letters. So think of this morning as a little bit of a preview, okay? It is clear that as Paul writes this letter, circumstances for him are not good. From the very beginning, in the opening chapter, he tells us that he writes as a prisoner. And then several times in the letter, he also talks about the suffering that he has endured for the cause. But it's in chapter 4, if you will look there, it's in chapter 4 that we really get a sense of how dire his circumstances are. In fact, it is one of the more familiar spots in the letter, in part because we read it a lot at funerals. This will sound familiar, right? So this is 2 Timothy 4. Look down at verse number 6. Paul writes, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." And so we hear that and we wonder, well, what does he mean? Is he getting ready to go somewhere else? What is this departure? Well, we read on. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Now we get it. Now we see where he's going with this. Paul senses that the end of his life is near, that he might well die soon. And so if you look at verse 9, the next verse, he urges Timothy to come to him. He wants Timothy to meet up with him. There is a practical side to that request. If you go on through the end of the letter, he said, "I need you to bring me some books, and I need you to bring me my coat." But there's more there than that. Several times in this letter, Paul has already mentioned how some of the people that he had counted on had betrayed him, and some who had been walking with the Lord stopped walking with the Lord, and there were times where he felt like he was all alone when he had to make his defense. And so I wonder, part of this is that he is feeling alone, and he wants his coworker, Timothy, his good friend, there with him. But I wonder, too, if Paul was afraid that time might run out before Timothy could get there. I mean, folks, this wasn't as simple as hopping a red eye and being there the next morning to connect with Paul. A journey to see him might well have taken weeks and weeks and weeks or months. He says come before winter, because if he waited till winter, the weather would delay things even more, and it might be even longer before he could get there. And so as Paul writes this letter, I am suspicious that he sees that possibility, and he is afraid that this might be his only communication with Timothy, that he may not get there in time. I wonder about that in part because this letter sounds like the kind of thing that an older preacher would say to a younger preacher as he's passing the torch. It is a letter loaded with admonitions. In fact, right up front, there's a whole flurry, like this burst of admonitions. I counted 24 of them in the book. He starts out in chapter 1 in verse 6, "Kindle afresh the gift of God that is in you." And then in verse 8, "Do not be ashamed to tell people about our Lord." And again, "Join with me in suffering for the gospel." The kinds of things you might expect an older preacher to say to his protege before he dies as he prepares to pass on the work to him. I wonder if Paul is saying these things in the letter because he is fearful there will not be another opportunity to save them. I wanted you to see that because it is one of these admonitions that I want to focus on this morning, and it's in chapter 3. Will you look at chapter 3? Beginning in verse number 1, Paul tells Timothy that things are going to get difficult. Verse 1, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. And then beginning in verse 2, he just gives an ugly list of how things are going to go, the kind of world that Timothy is going to have to deal with. In fact, capping all that off in verse 12 by saying, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So was it just that things in the world were going to get bad and Timothy's going to deal with personal, difficult circumstances, but persecution too, as it had for Paul, was coming for Timothy. And so picking up in verse 13, he said, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so all the way up from verse 1 down to verse 13, this is how bad it's going to get. But now notice in verse 14, he heads off in a different direction. He says, you, however, in light of what's coming, this is what I want you to do. Continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then maybe the most familiar text of the letter. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You've heard those two verses before, right? It caps off this section. He says things here that sound like things he said before. He says to Timothy, here's the phrase I want you to notice. He said, continue in the things that you have learned. That's a familiar theme in this letter. Back in chapter 1, he said, hold to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me. Continue in the things that you've learned. Verse 14 of chapter 1, guard the treasure which has been entrusted to you. And so as he runs through this awful period Timothy's going to face, the difficult times in which he's going to work, listen to what he says. Hold. Guard. Continue. So a couple of weeks back, I was in the class on 1st and 2nd Timothy on Sunday night, and we were going through chapter 3. And that admonition, continue in the things that you learn, that really resonated with me. In part because it sounds so counterintuitive when compared with what culture says to young people today. Will you think about that? Paul's message to this young preacher is, you keep teaching, you keep doing what you've done since childhood. And I think the message of the world to young people is, if it's something you've always been taught, you should probably question that. Doubt what you always heard from your mom and dad. Be suspicious about the things that you have always believed and practiced. Are you with me on that? And yet Paul says exactly the opposite. Now I will tell you this, I don't completely disagree with the sentiment. I mean, there is some value along the way in recognizing that I shouldn't believe something just because it's what I've always believed. I always need to have good reasons for believing what I believe and doing what I do. I need to consider and weigh the evidence and figure out what is true. To say that another way, all of us, brothers and sisters, need to have a faith that is ours, not one that we inherited or that was passed down to us by our mom and dad. I guess what I'm trying to say is that there is, though, another danger on the opposite side of that. And that is that I might be suspicious of everything I've been taught just because that's what I was always taught. Here's my point so that I'm clear on this. I should never blindly accept that what I've always been taught is true. That's a valid point. But nor should I blindly accept the things that I've always been taught just because that's what I've always been taught. Does that make sense? Whatever I choose, I need to have good reasons. But that's what's interesting about this text. Paul starts with, continue in the things that you have learned, but he doesn't stop there. And if we'll hang with him a little bit further, he'll explain when we ought to do that. And so what I want to invite you to do with me is just walk through the next three phrases in this text. And I think Paul will understand, help us understand, when we need to continue in the things that we have learned. So let's begin there. Notice the next phrase with me. The very next thing he says is, continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of. So he adds immediately an additional piece of vital data. That next piece is critical. He is not telling Timothy, just believe what you've always believed because that's what you've always been taught. That's not a good reason. But what he tells us is that Timothy had actually taken another critical step in the process. Yes, as we'll find out, his mom and grandma had taught him some things from the sacred writings. Yes, Paul had come along and taught him some thing as well. But there was something else Timothy did. And it's in this next statement. Do you guys see it? He had become convinced that those things were true. Now, what I really wish is that the Holy Spirit had gone a little further here and sort of described that process. I am curious about what exactly Timothy did. I'm guessing he did some of his own reading and some of his own study and some of his own pondering and some of his own praying. And ultimately, what he came to see is that these things he had been taught were true. The gospel was true. He was convinced his faith wasn't an inherited faith. Do you see that? It was his. He'd made an investment in figuring this out. Realize what his mom had told him, what Paul had told him. All of that was true. Here's the thing that I want to say about that. I think for those of us who grow up with all of this, coming to places like this on Sunday and doing the kinds of things we're doing today, for some of us, that's just what we've always done. I don't ever remember not getting up on Sunday and going to Bible class. I bet some of you are like that too. We grow up with the habit of doing these things and believing these things. It becomes the routine of our life. So much so that if you just laid in bed this morning, that would have felt weird, right? I remember that back when we started COVID, right? Not that I was laying in bed during COVID. That's not what I'm saying. But do you remember that first Sunday where we didn't have services and how weird that was? I mean, even if you're streaming, it still felt weird that I didn't go to church this morning. It is the habit of our lives. And sometimes what we do not do, we just go through the routine. And what we do not do is get underneath that and ask the tough questions. Okay, yeah, but why do I do that every Sunday? Even more importantly, is that the right thing? And these things we've just done, are those the right things? The things that I ought to do? All these things I believe, are they true? You know what we do? We just sort of float along. You ever been rafting on a river or tubing down a river? You know, it doesn't take much effort, does it? It's not like swimming in a pool. When you're tubing, you just sort of float down the river. I think some of us do that spiritually. We just let the current of tradition and experience and habit carry us down the river. I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. We are living in a world where increasingly our culture is not going to let us do that. If you are under the age of 30, half of the people that you are growing up with have never been in a church building, not in their entire lives. Half of the people that you're growing up with have never really read the Bible, have never been taught the Bible. In fact, half the people under the age of 30 think religion is dumb, a waste of time. And so more and more and more, if I'm floating along doing something different, I'm going to find myself in a culture of people who are going to say, why are you doing that? Why do you believe those things? And here's the concern that I have. If we haven't thought that through and become convinced ourselves, and then we start getting hit with questions that we don't know how to answer. You know what happens? Sometimes young people get hit with questions they can't answer, and they leap to the assumption that must be because there are no answers, and they give up on their faith. It is so frustrating that we are losing youth, not because the evidence is unconvincing, but because they've never looked at it. They didn't do what Timothy had done. Take the next step. And so I want you guys to hear me, all right? We're wrapping up Teen Weekend today. Young people have been thinking all weekend about having a faith that lasts, okay? So sometimes I'm just going to kind of target them. Will y'all let me do that for a minute? Here's what I want you guys to hear from me this morning. It is not enough for you just to go through the routine week after week. You need to do exactly what Timothy did. You need to be convinced. Before any of us abandon the things that we've always been taught, I think one of the questions I really need to ask myself is, but have I invested anything in this? Have I worked at figuring this out? That's what made the difference with Timothy. That's why Paul could say, you continue in the things you learn, because Paul knew Timothy had been convinced that this stuff was true. But now we're not done, because this next part gets interesting. Continue in the things that you've learned and become convinced of. And then he says, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now Paul adds another piece to this. He wants Timothy to think about the people who taught them these things. As he urges him to continue, one of the pieces of that is, you think about who taught you this stuff. Now let's ask a couple of questions about that. Number one, who is Paul talking about? Who were the people who taught Timothy? Context leads me actually in two directions. If you look ahead a little bit, he's going to talk about Timothy's childhood. In fact, he's mentioned already in the letter his mother and grandmother. And so I am inclined to think that that's who Paul has in mind when he says, think about who taught you this. He's talking about Timothy's mother and grandmother. However, if I look back in the context a little bit, I'm also inclined to think that he's including Paul. Paul is including himself on that list. Back up to verse 10. Will you look there in verse 10? We didn't read this earlier. This is chapter 3, verse 10. Paul says to him, now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. And so Paul has just talked about how he was one of Timothy's teachers. And so I wonder maybe if Paul belongs on this list too. Paul hadn't just heard, or Timothy rather, had not just heard Paul's teaching. Remember, he traveled with Paul. And so what he got to do is see the life of Paul up close and personal. He got to see the impact of God's teaching on Paul's life every day. He knew his conduct. He knew his message. He knew his conduct. He also knew how Paul had suffered for the cause, all the trials he endured, and yet he knew his perseverance. He knew how he continued to preach. He had seen the Lord deliver him. And so notice, as Paul says, continue in the things you've been learned. You think about the people who taught you these things. Paul, his mom, his grandmother. But then I have a second question about that. Why is Paul telling him that? Why is Paul telling him, think about who taught you? Is Paul suggesting that Timothy needed to put his faith in people? I know that can't be true. Because later in other letters, Paul is going to say exactly the opposite. But I do think Paul is telling Timothy to be cautious about the voices he hears. Will you just take a peek back up at verse 13? We read it earlier. Do you remember the warning about the people who were out there deceiving and leading people astray? Timothy needed to be very careful about the voices he heard. He needed to be careful about allowing some other voice to pull him off in a different direction. He needed to think about whose voice he was listening to. He needed to think about the voice he had heard before, these people who had taught him. He needed to think about their love for God and their love of Scripture and how it had impacted their life and what they had done for the gospel. That wasn't the whole story. Are you hearing me on that? Because Paul was dedicated, because his mom and grandma had a sincere faith, that doesn't mean they were right about everything, but it certainly made them worth considering. So the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, makes that part of the equation. Who did I hear this from? And what do I know about them? I think we too need to be very cautious about the voices we hear. And for the same reason, there are deceivers out there. There are thousands of voices that we can hear that threaten to pull us in a thousand different directions away from God. We need to be careful about the voices we hear. We need to be careful about the popular preacher that we like to listen to on YouTube, or the gifted writer whose books we love, or the popular podcast that so many people are enthralled with. We need to be careful about the voices we hear. Before I allow them to pull me off in some direction that's away from what I've always been taught, I need to think about the people who taught me. For some people sitting in this audience, that may be mom and dad. Maybe you had a mom and dad who were devoted to the Lord, who loved Jesus, who were in his book all the time. You were kind of like Paul and Timothy. You grew up in the house. You could see it. And every day you could see the impact that it had on their life, and you could see how they made the efforts to help you hear God's voice too. Here's what I'd like to say about that. If you grew up with a mom and dad like that, before you let some other voice, some book you read, some podcast you heard pull you off in a completely different direction, I think mom and dad need a text that says, I'm coming home this weekend. I'm struggling with some questions. I want to talk. Don't you think? Maybe you had some voices like that in your church family. You know, I hate to do this to you, Randy. But you guys, Randy has been helping young people love God and love the text since I was a young person. Well, we weren't in this building, but I was sitting with a group of young people just like you. Sorry about that. But it is so, brother. You guys know Randy. And I hadn't known Jeff as long as I've known Randy. But I've known Jeff a long time. And spend lots and lots and lots of times talking to Jeff about Scripture. I know these two men. I know their love for God. I've seen the impact of their love for God on their lives. And I know their love for the text, for hearing God's voice. You guys have been in their classes. You know that he's encouraged you to hear God's voice. I'm just going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. I'm not a kid. 60 is closing in on me like a freight train coming through a tunnel. But I promise you that if I ever listened to a podcast or read a book that made me wonder about the things I had always believed, I could tell you, before I started changing my mind and going a different direction, me and Jeff are going to talk. I'm going to sit down with Randy. I would want to know what they think. That does not mean they're right. But it means what I know about these guys makes the conversation necessary. Okay, excuse me for a second. So can I be real plain about what I'm trying to say to y'all? When you go off to college or go off to another place to live, and you hear some preacher on YouTube or read some book that makes you doubt everything that you've always heard, I hope you'll talk to your mom and dad about that. Or I hope you'll shoot Randy an email and say, can you make some time to talk to me next week? And if you want to get a hold of Jeff, text me and I'll let him know you're trying to reach him. I'm sorry, but it's just the most efficient process. Paul wanted Timothy to think about who taught him. And I hope you will too. Continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and then watch this last. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. I think he saves the most important for last. In fact, I think everything is heading to this point. It is the key in all of this. Most important were the writings, the scriptures that were inspired by God. For Timothy, I think that would have been the Old Testament scriptures. That's what he would have been taught from childhood. In fact, it looks to me like Timothy's mother and grandmother had done what Moses said to do in Deuteronomy 6, right? Teach this to your children. Talk of it when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Evidently, Timothy's mother and grandmother had been doing that. And I think along the way, as Timothy had come to understand the teachings of the Old Testament, he had been confronted with the promises about the coming Messiah. And then I am suspicious that somewhere along the way, Paul came into the life of this godly family, and what Paul did is he helped them connect the Old Testament prophecies with the reality in Jesus Christ, demonstrating that Jesus is the one who was promised. As Jeff was talking about the Lord's Supper this morning, going back 4,000-ish years, Genesis 12, and you all families of the earth would be blessed. That's Jesus. In fact, notice that that's hooked up for us in 2 Timothy 3 in verse 15. If we keep reading there, you've known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And so we connect it all together, old and new, and it comes together in Christ. And so what Timothy had been taught from childhood from the Old Testament by his mother and grandmother, and then what Paul connects for him, which ultimately becomes the New Testament, how that is fulfilled in Jesus. All of that, brothers and sisters, was rooted in the sacred writings. It was rooted in Scripture. And here it is. That's why Timothy needed to believe it. That's why he needed to continue on this path. It's because it's God's path. It's what God reveals. And so in this last letter that Paul writes to this young protege, perhaps fearing he would never see him again, he says to Timothy, you stick with that stuff. You stick with it even if culture is moving in a completely different direction. You stick with it even if popular speakers are telling people what to hear and drawing them to themselves. That's what he goes on to say in chapter 4. Another great example, Jeff, of where we don't need a chapter break, right? Because after he tells him to continue in what you have learned, listen to chapter 4 and verse 1. Are you there? Just keep going right on down. He says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Wow, what an introduction. What's he getting ready to say? I mean, he says all that in verse 1. It just echoes of importance, right? He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Now watch verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and they will turn aside their ears from the truth, and they will turn aside to myths. You see that? Boy, it sounds familiar, doesn't it? Paul says, Timothy, people are just going to start flocking to guys who will tell them what they want to hear. Now, here's what he says to Timothy, verse 5. But you, be sober in all things. Do your hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. You've got a calling by the Lord to do his work. Paul says to Timothy, that's what I want you to do. You stick with this. Even if everyone's flocking to someone else, you keep telling them the truth. Whether they want to hear it or not, whether it's popular or not, you keep telling them the truth. Even if it means opposition and persecution, you stick with what is true, with what you have learned. And so should all of us. We need to be very cautious about allowing ourselves to be drawn to someone who's telling us what we want to hear, whether it's a favorite author or a podcast or a preacher whose videos are on YouTube. We need to be very cautious about being drawn to people who tell us what we want to hear. It was a danger then, it's a danger today. In fact, I have kind of mixed feelings about all the resources that are available to us to hear about spiritual things, right? I mean, think about it. When I was a kid growing up, nobody had a podcast. We didn't have the internet. It's worse than that. We didn't have computers, right? There were no online sermons to listen to. Really updated churches had cassette tapes, and you might be able to get one of those if you visited there. And you might be a plate in your car. The truth is we have this whole vast array of different ways to access materials. Online sermons, we've got those on our website. We have online classes on our website. There are, you know, dozens and dozens of podcasts, and there's stuff you can grab off of social media, and on and on and on it goes. And I guess all of that's okay, but here's what I like to say about that. Listening to me preach online is not listening to God. And listening to a podcast is listening to some guy give his opinion about what God said. It's not listening to God. And so I want to say emphatically, brothers and sisters, we need to be in the book. I'm not saying don't listen to lessons online. There's value in that. It's just that that needs to be the smaller part. The larger part is for me and you to be in the book and to hear from God. It was interesting. A couple weeks ago on Wednesday night, we had junior high and high schools together in Bible class because a bunch of kids were gone to camp. And we actually had a really interesting conversation about this. And some of the young people shared some of the obstacles they struggle with to be in the book. And so they talked about things like distractions, right? And I mean, they could come up with a whole list of them quickly. I got all this schoolwork to do. I got to worry about the academics, or I'm involved in sports, and that's a huge commitment of my time. Or there's all the other distractions like social media and gaming and on and on and on that list goes. And they acknowledge that was the problem. Sometimes the problem was that they just didn't feel like that was something expected of them. It's interesting. A couple of months back, talking to young people about how many were doing the Bible reading. I won't sell y'all out and say, okay. But part of the problem is that expectation isn't there. You're part of this church, you need to be doing that too. And frankly, studying the Bible is hard, brothers and sisters. It's not like sitting down in front of a console and playing a game, right? It's hard work to study Scripture. Let's be honest about that. I mean, I have sat in my office for a whole day wrestling with a sentence in one verse. And I've had that experience where I did that all day long, and when I got done marking, I thought, I know less about this when I began the day. Why did I even come in? It's hard work figuring out a text. I told the kids it's like learning to play an instrument. Oh, listen, my wife plays piano. And I love to just sit back and listen to her, you know, just play along some beautiful song on the piano. She can do that. But I tell you, she didn't sit down and do that first time. In fact, what she does is she sits down and practices again and again and again. And she's got to figure out the notes and the right fingering for that, how she's going to make her fingers work. And then she's got to knit that song together. And I have told her, I wish that you would do that when I was not at the house. Because that's not pretty. I like the finished product. There's Bible study right there, folks. It's struggling and wrestling and figuring out and trying to get it right until the moment comes and you do. And that's so cool, isn't it? To see what God was trying to say. I've watched young people figure out the book of Revelation. That's so cool to see it click in their minds and say, oh, I get it. I know what all this stuff is about. I love that. We did the same thing with Song of Solomon, right? Went through all that poetry, thought, oh, we know what this was about. Then it got really awkward once we knew what it was about. But nonetheless, the light came on, and we're seeing what God wants us to see. That's such a cool thing. We need to encourage our kids to be in the text. You guys got lots of help with that. Moms and dads who want more than anything in life for you to know the text. And a church full of people eager to help you. What we want is for you guys to hear the voice of God. But again, ladies and gentlemen, that starts with a choice. For you, for all of us. It starts with a choice. And the choice boils down to this. Am I going to make my own way through this life? Am I to decide for myself how I'm going to do this? Or am I going to let God set my compass and let God take me through this life? Follow that narrow way that leads to life. That's the choice. So we're going to sing this song in just a minute because it might be that there's someone in the crowd that needs to decide today. Maybe you decided a long time ago, but you've drifted away. Other voices have pulled you away and you need to come back to Him. Or maybe if you've never decided for the first time, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. I believe these things are true and I need to do something about that today. If that's where you are, if you need to respond to this, this song is designed to encourage you to do just that. So if you have a need, make your way to the front right now while we sing together.